Andrea Desmarais from the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill, someplace I know well.
Good afternoon. I'm the project manager for the My Body, My Test study. Our PI is Dr. Jennifer Smith at UNC, in the back there. And I just want to recognize our collaborators at UNC, Dr. Sankumbago, Dr. Noel Brewer, and Dr. Marcia Hobbs, who is also here, and our wonderful collaborator, Lynn Barkley at ASHA. Quick disclosures that some of our study materials and testing and were donated by Hologic GenProbe. Our self-collection brushes were donated by Rovers. My conference travel expenses have been paid by Hologic GenProbe, and Dr. Smith has received unrestricted research grants or consulted for Hologic GenProbe and Trovagen. So quick background, new technology and self-collection devices, transport media, and assays have made it possible to conduct STI testing by mail. And this method may be more appealing and more accessible to women who are unwilling or unable to attend a clinic to complete primary screening. There are quite a few studies that have looked at mailed STI testing. Just a few have found the method to be acceptable among a variety of populations, such as young women in the United States who requested a kit via website, which is actually Dr. Gatiss's study, young men, clinic patients in the UK for chlamydia testing. And then a randomized control trial in the Netherlands has found that women who are overdue for cervical cancer screening are more likely to complete a mail-based HPV testing method than they are to respond to a invitation for a clinic screening. So offering that method to women who are overdue for traditional screening has increased screening in that population. Our study looks at determining the feasibility and acceptability of mail-based STI testing among a high-risk population of North Carolina women. These women are unscreened for cervical cancer in 4 years or more. They're low income, earning below 250% of the federal poverty line, and they're uninsured or publicly insured. And this population is age 30 to 64. This is an appropriate population age for HPV screening, but we recognize that this is a lower risk population for infections such as chlamydia or gonorrhea. We're also looking at assessing the validity of the home self-collected samples compared to a self-collected sample collected in clinic and a physician-collected sample. We conducted recruitment from the general population through a variety of ways likely to reach low-income underscreened women, such as social assistance agencies, community organizations, and the United Way 211 social assistance hotline. Women enrolled by phone and received kits at home to complete a vaginal sample and return that sample by mail to our labs. They then attended a clinic appointment to collect a second self-collected sample and complete a clinician exam for the collection of an endocervical sample. All samples were tested for chlamydia, gonorrhea, TRIC, MGEN, and high-risk HPV, and we performed cytology on the clinician-collected endocervical sample. And all participants were referred to follow-up screening and treatment per standard treatment guidelines. Women self-collected all the vaginal samples using the Rovers Viva brush, and those samples were preserved directly into the Aptima sample transport media. Physician-collected samples were collected, preserved, and processed using the ThinPrep processing. And we took aliquots from those samples preserved into the Aptima STM for STI testing. All of our assays were Aptima assays. And for the human papillomavirus, any sample that tested positive for the general test of 14 high-risk strains was then tested type-specific for 16 and 1845. So we felt it was important to adapt the manufacturer instructions to make sure that they were comprehensible to a low literacy population. We did some pilot testing and used guidelines for language illustrations for low literacy populations to make sure that these were comprehensible and they were received well. So approximately 200 women received self-collection kits, and of those, 83% returned those kits. Nine samples had an adequate fluid volume, so we were unable to conduct the assays on those samples. And then 78% of women completed the clinic component of the study, and of those women who returned their kits, actually 94% followed up to clinic. So as expected, the prevalence of chlamydia in this population is low. We had one woman who tested positive across all sample types for chlamydia, and then one positive result that showed up only in a woman's self-collected clinic sample. So that gives us agreement of kappa of 0.66 of the self-home compared to the self-clinic and the self-clinic compared to the clinician, but then perfect agreement between the self-home and the clinician. And then we had only one positive result for gonorrhea, and this appeared in a self-collected clinic sample for one participant. That didn't work out. So our concordance for TRIC was about 12.5 across all sample types, but we did find some discordance in those results. Discordant results between the self-collected home sample and the self-collected clinic sample, two discordant samples between the self-clinic and the clinician, and four discordant samples between the self-collected home sample and the clinician. Still pretty good agreement with kappas of 0.87 of the self-home to self-clinic, 0.94 of the self-clinic to clinician, and 0.87 for the self-home to clinician. These are all going to be off. Okay, so we found rates of around 3 to 5%, so it's about 4.3% in our home collected samples for MGen, approximately 5% for the self-collected clinic, and 3.7%, I would say, for our clinician samples. Still some discordant results, three discordant between the self-home and the self-clinic, two discordant between the self-clinic and the clinician, and three discordant between the self-home and the clinician. And let me just make sure I'm double-checking those rates correctly. Okay, and we still had a moderately good agreement with kappas of 0.76 self-home to self-clinic, 0.83 self-clinic to clinician, and 0.72 self-home to clinician. And finally, for the HPV results, we had, it's not going to show up on here either, we found 12% in our home self-collected samples, about 16% in our clinic self-collected samples, and about 13% in our clinician collected samples. With 11 discordant results between self-home and self-clinic, 16 between self-clinic and clinician, and 9 between self-home and clinician. So moderate agreement with kappas of 0.69 between self-home and self-collected clinic samples, 0.56 between the self-collected clinic samples and clinician, and 0.71 between the home self-collected samples and the clinician. And this looks at HPV positivity by cytology result. And as you can see, a high-risk HPV was detected by all sample methods in all high-grade lesions identified by cytology. And then we saw lower prevalence in the lower-grade cytology results, which is to be expected. We only referred women to colposcopy if it was indicated by treatment guidelines. So 7 women completed colposcopies, and we found histologically confirmed CIN2+ in 4 of those women, which gives us a 3% prevalence in our study population, which is relatively high. And importantly, high-risk HPV was detected by the home self-collected and the clinician-collected samples in all cases of CIN2+. Just 2 quick measures of acceptability. Women overall felt positive about the self-test experience, or some neutral, and virtually all of them were willing to complete the self-test again. So just in summary, we got very high agreement in the detection of Trichomonas between the home self-collected and the clinician-collected samples, and substantial agreement for the detection of HPV and mycoplasma. HPV was detected in all high-grade lesions by all sample types, and the majority of women did regard the experience positively. So we think that this is promising evidence for looking more into use of home-based STI testing for future screening programs. And I believe I failed to mention in the beginning, this is preliminary data. We very recently completed data collection, so we're working on final analysis now. Just want to quickly recognize our collaborators at UNC and at North Carolina Central University, as well as the clinics that conducted the in-clinic screening for our participants, the county-level breast and cervical cancer control program, and other safety net clinics, and, of course, Lynn Barkley and Asha, who provided all the call center services for this study. So thank you.
We have time for a question or two.
Hi, Julie Schillinger from New York City. Thank you, that was really interesting. I just wondered, were the women given an incentive for coming into clinic to have the physician exam and collection?
Yes. Total for participating in the study, they received $45. So that was $35 for collecting the home sample and completing the clinic visit, and they received that money when they went to the clinic visit, and then $10 for completing a survey.
I just wonder if that may have colored their perceptions of the acceptability. I mean, their willingness to participate at all in the home collection phase, and then even their retrospective sort of perceptions of how they might be willing to do it again. Just something to bear in mind.
Yeah, no, that's a very good point. Yeah, appreciate that. We also, just to know, we did collect a lot more questions about specific aspects of the experience, so hopefully we'll be able to tease some of that out, but that is an excellent point. Thank you.
Mark Ternak, Boston. I was curious, you showed us the instructions that you simplified for the population. Were there any other interventions like that, you know, did you make a phone call or was there any other support that was correlated with the successful return of the test?
Yeah, so we did, in all the materials, we made very clear that they should contact our call center if they had any questions, and virtually no one did. We haven't really looked at any sort of correlation between contacts. We just didn't have a lot of contacts. So that is an interesting question. And some of our later participants were actually recruited in person. And one woman called me personally, and I walked her through it. But I don't think we quite have enough numbers to really look at that. But, yeah, it would have been great.
Great.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.